The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Yomah has been dedicated in memory of Mazal Bat Esther Baghdadi and Yosef Ben Mazal Baghdadi by their family. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf has been dedicated by North Fork Bank and its private banking department with Gabriel Safti. Hashem Yishmerehu V'Hayehu. We would like to thank North Fork Bank and urge our listeners to patronize this generous financial institution. On a private note, we'd like to thank Mr. Gabriel Safti for his continued support for all our programs here at Daf Yomi, Torah Learning Resources, and the Torah Center. Teskele Mitzvot. Today's Daf has been dedicated in memory of Yosef ben Mazal and Shlomo Rafael ben Mazal. Ruach Hashem Tanihem began Eden. Gemara Yoma Daf Samichet. Today's daf is being said Le'alun Ishmat Avraham Ben Esther Ruach Hashem Tanihem began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being said Le'atzlachat Hayale Saval Yisrael. That Be'azat Hashem they should have Hatzlacha V'arvacha B'chol Ma'asei Yedehem, like we read in today's parasha. V'shaftem Lavetach, that they should be settled with security and safety, Be'ezat Hashem, and as well as Toshavei Eretz Yisrael, Kemosh Ne'eman Hinel Lo'yanum Lo'yishan Shema Yisrael. Amen. We begin today's daf on Samech Zayin Amud Bet. We are five lines from the bottom. We'll start from the words Kala'an B'miklaot. So if you remember, we studied in yesterday's Mishnah that after they finished pushing the Sa'il Azazel off the tzuk, off the cliff, the mountain, so then they would go back to the pod and the Sa'ir, right. And we said they would put them on like a stretcher type item that was being held by four people, and they would braid the animals together, which means the way they would lie on this stretcher would be they would be intertwined. So the Gemara says, Amar B'Yohanan Kimin Kili'ah. Okay, it was like a braid. Tana. Now, we say that they used to take them out, outside of Yerushalayim, and outside the Azara at least. We'll see exactly how far they took it out. And they would burn it. They would have to burn the pieces. Normally, a Korban Chatat, the meat is eaten by the Kohanim. In this case, obviously, Kippur, the meat is not eaten by the Kohanim. So they take it out, and they burn it. So the Gemara is going to discuss that procedure of burning the animal. Tana, we have a braita. Lo haya menatechan nituach basar ola. They would not cut it up into pieces like they would do to a korban ola. Normally the korban ola also, parts of it would be cut up and then put on the mizbeah to be burnt. Parts of it, all of it, that's the korban ola. Now, the Korban Ola is different in the sense that they would skin it first. First they would skin the animal, and then they would cut it up, and then burn it on the Mizbeah. So the Braita says, Lo ayam minatechan nituach basar Ola. Here, they wouldn't cut it up like they would cut up the Ola. Ela or al gabe basar. Here, the skin was still on the animal. I mean, the skin was on the par and the side. They would cut it while the skin, the skin, the od, was still on the animal itself. Look at that sheep, three lines at the bottom. Lo ayam min atechan surfan, the one that was burning it. Kenituach basar ola shum mufshat min haor. Kodem nituach, kedichtiv vehefshit venatach. Ela or agabe basar ve'eno mafshitan. The od was still on the flesh, and they did not skin it. So comes the Gemara and says, minane mile. Well, how do we know that? How do we know that you cut the meat while the flesh or the skin is still on it? So the Gemara says, "Netanya," because we have a bright Rabbi Omer, "Neemar kan or ubasar uperish." By the part in the side of Yom Kippur, it says three items: or is the skin, basar would be the meat of it, and perish would be the inside of it, the innards of the animal. And it also says, it says by the part of the Kohen Mashiach. That's the Kohen that was anointed, that let's say inadvertently made a sin, that's punishable by a hatat if you do it b'shogeg, or karet if you did it b'mezid. So he has to bring a special korban to par kohen mashiach that he has to atone. Now it says also by the par kohen mashiach, those three words, or ubasar uperish. Let's look at the bottom rashis. Ne'emar kan, two lines from the bottom. Bepar v'sa'id et orotam ve'et besaram ve'et prisham v'ne'emar bepar kohen mashiach or ubasar uperish. What's the pasuk? Ve'et or apar ve'et kol besaro al rosho ve'al kera'av ve'kirbo ufrisho. Now, obviously we're going to make a mamatzin, we're going to make a connection between them. And the Gemara says, ma le'alan al yedeh nituah ve'lo al yedeh efsheh. Just like over there, when you cut the animal up into pieces, you're cutting it without skinning it first. Afkan, so to over here by the part in the side of Yom Kippur, al yedeh nituah. Of course, you have to cut it first before you burn it. Velo al yedeh hefsheh. So the Gemara says, ve'ata minalan. How do you know by the Kohen Mashiach that you don't skin it first? So the Gemara says, detanya, because we have a b'laita. Again, now this b'laita again is referring to the par kohen mashiach. The pasuk says, I'm going to read you the beginning of the pasuk. Ve'et or apar ve'et kol besaro al rosho ve'al kera'av. Now we pick up where the b'laita starts. Ve'kirbo u pirsho. Its kirbo is its insides. And the perish is like the refuse, the waste of the animal. So now it says, vehotzi. Now what do you have to do with these parts of the animal? Vehotzi, you take it out. Right, so you learn over here, the Gemara says, melamed shemotzi'o shalim. From the fact that it says hotzi, in a singular terminology, it's marked that you take it out whole. You don't cut it up into pieces first, because then it would be vehotzi'u. Okay, so that's the first thing. Yachol yisrefenu shalem. Oh, when you get to take it out, now to burn it. Do you think that you burn it all in one entity? So he goes, no. Ne'emar kan, it says over here, rosho ukla'av. It says over here, it's head and it's kera'im, it's legs. V'ne'emar le'alan, and it says later on, where's that later on? That is by the Ola. By the Ola it says, let's get the right words over here. Rosho Ukhra'av. Hang on, Masoret HaShas Bet gives you the right text over here. Rosho Ukhra'av. So we're comparing now the Par Kohen Mashiach to an Ola. Both Pesukim say the words Rosho Ukhra'av. So the Gemara says, "Ma lehalan al yedenitua." Just like by the Ola, we know that you cut it up into pieces first. Afkan al yedenitua. So too, we learn over there you have to cut it up. Which means, don't think that the burning is done when the animal is shalem. No, we learn from Korban Ola that just like you cut it up first, so too you cut the par kohen mashiach first, the animal, not the kohen, the animal, and then you burn it. Ima le'alan al yedeh efshet. Afkan al yedeh efshet. Oh, if you're learning from Ola, maybe just like Ola, you skin it first. So to the Kohen Mashiach, it's animal, you skin first. Tamud omar, v'kirbo ufirsho. The pasuk says by the Kohen Mashiach, kirbo, its innards and its perish. The Gemara says, my Talmuda, what do you learn from those words? Why does that tell you skinning? Amar papa keshem shepirsho bikirbo, just like the perish is bikirbo, is inside. When they burn the animal, they wouldn't take the perish outside. They wouldn't take the perish out because it's not kavod to take the waste out of the animal. So just like the perish remains bikirbo inside, kach besaro be'oro, so too the flesh remains inside in its flesh. And therefore we learn over here that the par kohen mashiach is not skinned. Yeah, we learn from Ola that it's cut into pieces. Ah, you're learning from Ola? So skin it just like the Ola. No. By there it says, pirsho and Besaro. So we make it a limud, and we say the perish you didn't take out. It's not kavod to empty out the, like I guess you would cut open the stomach, let's say, and take out the perish. It wouldn't be kavod. So just like that remains covered, so too Besaro remains covered. How? Be'oro. So therefore we learn that by the par kohen Mashiach, you burn it with the flesh on. And we learn from there to par and sa'ir of Kippur, and therefore when you burn it, it's burnt with its flesh covered by its skin. Gemara continues. Tanu. Oh, so we said, me'em atay mitam'im v'gadim. So we said, those that involve themselves with the pot and the sa'ir, taking it outside to burn, at a certain point, it's mitameh their garments, the v'gadim. So we had a machlokan in the Mishnah, at what point? So the Mishnah said, if you remember, one shita was, once they bring it outside the wall of the azara, of the courtyard, and the Bishamon's opinion was no. When the majority of the korban takes fire, his lashon was mishiyatsita ur beruban. Right, then the tum'ah sets in. So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan. We have a braita, and this is now a braita discussing the par and the sa'ir of Yom Kippur. Pasuk says, Yotzi el mechutz lemachane, you should take it outside the camp, v'sarfu, and you burn it. Le'alan ata noten lahem shalosh machanot. Le'alan, which literally means later on, which is referring to the par kohen Mashiach and the par he'alem davar shel sibur. What is par he'alem davar shel sibur? That's a case where the Sanhedrin, let's say, made a mistaken ruling, and the sibur followed the ruling, and then the Sanhedrin realized they made a mistake, so now the sibur has to bring a special korban called par he'alem davar shel sibur. Regarding both those are hata'ot. The par kohen Mashiach, it's korban hata'ot, and the par he'alem is also a hatat. And what do we know by those korbanot? Where do we burn the rest of the animal, the stuff that doesn't go on the mizbeach? It says you take it outside shalosh machanot, three camps. Now let's just review what are these three camps. The three camps are as follows. When there's a Bet HaMikdash, the Mahane Shekhinah, that's exactly the Bet HaMikdash proper. That would be the Kodesh, even the Azarot. They have a status of Mahane Shekhinah. Outside the Azara would be considered Mahane Leviyah, but it's still on the Temple Mount. And then you have outside Yerushalayim, that would be considered Mahane Yisrael. That would be considered the three different Mahanot in Klal Yisrael. Okay? Well, actually, the rest of Jerusalem, I should say. Okay, don't go so far outside Yerushalayim. The rest of Yerushalayim off the Temple Mount is considered Ma'aneh Yisrael. So again, Ma'aneh Shekhinah, that's the Kodesh Kodashim, the Kodesh, the Hechal, the Azarot, Ma'aneh Leviyah, outside the Azara but still on the Temple Mount itself. Off the Temple Mount in Yerushalayim is considered Ma'aneh Yisrael. So we know a regular Par Elim Davash Sibur or Par Kohen Mashiach that made the sin and brings us hatat, they burn it outside of shalosh machanot. Vekan ata noten lahem machane ahat. So Gemara says, but here, by the pot in the sa'ir of Kippur, you're only giving them one machane? Because the pasuk says, yotzi il mechutz lamachane. It's mashma that you only have to take it out of one camp. Which means it sounds like you could burn it on the Temple Mount itself. So the Gemara is asking, what do you mean? Why by the other chataot, which already we know there's a comparison between the two? Well, there it's three ma'anot, here it's only one. So he says, hold it. Im ken lama ne'emar mechutz la'machaneh. So then why did it say mechutz la'machaneh? Which is the Gemara is assuming for sure mechutz la'machaneh is not one ma'aneh. For sure the laws are compatible, that they both got burnt out of three ma'anot. So then what does Ilmu Chutz LaMachaneh teach me? Nomad lecha, kevan shiyatza chutz LaMachaneh achat, metame'im begadim. That's the chidush. The chidush of Machaneh achat is not to tell me that's where you burn it. Because I know you don't burn it. I know you burn it outside the Machanot, like the regular chataot that are burnt. Oh, so what is Mahane Ahat here coming to tell me? That when does Tum'at Begadim kick in? Tum'at Begadim kicks in once already you take it outside the Azara, like the first opinion in our Mishnah said, right? The Mishnah said, when is Tum'at Begadim? Mishiyotzi'an Me'azara. When you take it out of the Azara, finish, that's what Tum'at Begadim comes. When do you burn it? No, you don't burn it until you take it out of, you take it to Yerushalayim. So there's two concepts of it. The burning takes place, Chutz Mishalosh Mahanot. Tum'at Begadim does not happen only once you take it out of Mahane Achat. Good? Kavzi Gavran says, Ve'atam Minalan, which means, by the par Kohen Mashiach, and the par Iqlim Davar, how do you know it's three Mahanot? Right. That you took for granted, right? So how do you know that? Says, Netanya. Ve'otzi et kol apar. So the pasuk says that what? You will take out the whole par. So the Gemara says, Chutz l'shalosh mahanot. And that's referring to three mahanot. Gemara says, how do you know? Ata omer chutz l'shalosh mahanot. You're saying it's three mahanot. O eno ela chutz l'mahane achat. Maybe it's only one mahane. How do you know? No, I'll tell you. Kishu omer bepar ha'eda. By the par he'alim davar shel sibur, it says il mi'ut l'mahane. It also says il mi'ut l'mahane. Now, she'en tamud l'mar. It doesn't have to tell me anything by that part. Why? Share kevar ne'emar v'saraf oto ka'asher saraf etapar arishon. Which means, it already says in the pasuk that the par ha'eda is similar to the par kohen mashiach. And we know already by the Kohen Mashiach, it says Chutz L'Machaneh. So why by the Par Ha'edah, He'alim Davar Shel Sibur, does it have to say in Chutz L'Machaneh? We know, it says in the Pasuk by Par Ha'edah, Ka'asher Saraf Et HaPar HaRishon. Just like you burnt the other one, so do this one. So whatever we do over there, we do over there. So you don't have to tell me how many Machanot by Par He'alim Davar Shel Sibur. Good. So he says, "Umat Talmud Davar El Chutz L'Machaneh." I say, "You know why he says Chutz L'Machaneh? Liten Lo Machaneh Sheniya, to tell you a second Machaneh, which means by Par Alem Davar, by Par Mashiach, Kohen Mashiach, it says the Chutz L'Machaneh. By Par Alem Davar, it says the Chutz L'Machaneh. So already I got two Machanehs, but I need to know three. So how do I know three? So the Gemara says, "Ukshu Omer Mechutz L'Machaneh Badeshen." Now, when it comes to a third pasuk, we have a law of hotzat addition. What's the hotzat addition? When the ashes were on the mizbeach, when they were mizbeach haitzon, when they were there was plentiful. So the law is once in a while you have to take it out and bring it to, and take it outside the, and get rid of them and deposit them over there outside of the camp. Over there it says, by that mitzvah of Hotzat Addition, it says also, Il Mi'utz L'Machaneh. You have to take it, Mi'utz L'Machaneh. So the Gemara says, She'en Tamud Lomar, you don't have to tell it to me over there either, Share Kevan Ne'emar El Shefech Addition, which means, it says by the Parim, by the Par He'alem Davar Shel Sibur, or by the Par of the Kohen Mashiach, where do you burn its limbs? Il Mekom Addition, in the place of the Addition. So therefore, we know, obviously, the place of the addition is where? Mi'utz l'machaneh. So the Gemara says, Sharek v'arav shivik addition. Tu ten lo machaneh shilishit. So what do we learn from there? The third machaneh, the third camp, which means like this. Nowhere does it say in any of these three subjects, not the par Mashiach, not the par Elim Nevash Yisimun, not the addition pasuk, three machanot. But by each one it says Machane, Machane, and then the other one says El Mekom Hadeshin, El Shefek Hadeshin actually. So therefore, and all these three parashot are connected. Because by the part He'alim Davar Shel Sibur, it says that you'll burn it in the same place where you burnt the part He'alim Davar, the bar Kohen Mashiach. So they're all connected. And we all know that both of them are burnt in a shifik addition. So what do you have to keep on repeating the same place? Elat's coming to tell me, and the Hosla Machaneh is one, and the Hosla Machaneh is two, and shifik addition is three. So that's where you learn the item of three Mahanot. It's not from one pasuk, but if it's a conglomeration of three different pasukim that all have the same thing in common, that we're burning them outside three mahanot. Now, once you tell me that we do that, that's three mahanot. We have a hikesh between these items and the pot and sa'ir of Yom Kippur, and we also say that it's done out of three mahanot. Now, let's read Rashi over here. Long Rashi, starting Tanu Rabbanan, Ne'emar kan mechutz l'machane. Hagirsa hazu meshubeshti v'yevsha la'amida. Rashi has an issue with the girsa over here in Hagemara, so he's going to give us the new revised girsa. Ubmasechet zevachim tuat kuarim hachi ita. Tanu Rabbanan. It's basically like we explained. Lehalan atan noten lahem gimel machanot. Later on, we're going to say that what? There is three machanot for the part in the sa'ir of Kippur. Vekan atan noten lahem machane ahat. And here it just says, v'otzi otol mechutz l'machane. You're only going to give it one machane. אם כן, למה נאמר מחוץ למחנה? או סביב זה מחוץ למחנה, תיצ'וס לומר לך, כיוון שיצאו חוץ למחנה אחת, מטמאים בגדים. Like we learned, the חידוש of מחנה אחת by part of the session of Kippurim is not in telling me how many מחנות you take it out. You take it out three. But the טומאה kicks in after the first. וגבי פר יום הכיפורים, תניה לה בתורת כהנים, says yotzi el mechutz lemachane v'sarfu, okay, the kametama tana, the tana of that Torah Kohanim has a question, v'amar achem, and says like this, le'alan be'par ha'ida, by the par ha'ida, let's say lehem davar shosibur, v'kohen mashiatar otel lehem nisrefatan chutz legimel machanot, azara ve'ar ha'bayit b'Yerushalayim, kedi alif lekaman. Now, incidentally, when we say outside of three machanot, the third machane is Yerushalayim. So it's outside Yerushalayim. You have to keep that in mind. It's not in Yerushalayim. It's outside the third machane, right? V'kan ata omer el mechutz l'machane v'sarfu. Here by the parvis side, if you look at the pesukim, it says el mechutz l'machane v'sarfu. Mashma, that the sarfu is right outside of the first machane. V'mashma shesurfan chutz l'machane shechina. מיד במחנה לביאה. So the Torah Kohanim asks, "Behalo af elu pinimim." This part of the sair are pinimim, meaning their blood is sprinkled inside in the kodesh. V'tkishu lahadade, and they're compared to the others, meaning the halem davar shel sibur, and the par kohen mashiach, which are also considered pinimim, that their blood is sprinkled inside. L'slefa utumat begadim, and they're compared. K'damrina and gabe par halem davar. How do we know that they're compared? How do we know we compare all hata'ot pinimim together? Because it says by the par elim davar, ve'asal lepar, ka'asher asal lepar ha'hatat. You'll do to the par elim like you did to the other par hatat. Ve'chule le'drasha. And this pasuk has a drasha. Ve'drashina lepar ze par yom kippurim. So we learn from the pasuk, like you did to this one, like you did to that one. So we're comparing all the hatayot together. Masechet Zefer, Masechet Menachot, Maitina Na, Da'ikara B'Torat Kohanim, V'Gabe Parim Kippurim Na Meketiv, HaChatat, HaChatat. By Parim Kippurim, the word Chatat is written a couple of times. It says, V'et Par HaChatat, V'et Seir HaChatat. Matamu Domar, Chatat, Chatat. What is the Chatat, Chatat? Teach me, Lefi, Shalom Labmanu Shum Metameim Begadim, ונצטפים בבית הדשן, אלא אלו בלבד. מניין לרבות פן משיח ופן העדה וסירי עבודה זרה, תומד אומר חטאת חטאת. Which means, the law of טומאת בגדים is only written by Kippur. The law of שריפה is written by Kippur. How do I know about the other חטאים, like פר העלם דבר של סיבור, פר כהן משיח? How do I know the law of טומאת בגדים applies to that? Because hatat hatat by par v'siyum kippurim. All that she's trying to show you is the subjects are compatible. They're mukash. They're compared to each other. Al maki adadininu, implying what? That they are the same. Imken. Now that she goes back to the sugya. Lama ne'emar kad machane achat. Why is it same by par v'siyum kippurim machane achat? Lo ne'emra ela al tumat begadim. Ela must be talking about tumat begadim. הכתובה אחרי והשורף אותם יכבס בגדיו
ונומדך, כיוון שיצאו חוץ למחנה אחת, מטמאים בגדים, באף שפקו למשיח. מכאן למד.
And I learned the same law, by the way, to פקו למשיח. Now, once he goes out of one מחנה,
תמאו ישראל, לא נכתבה בו תומת בגדים. Right? Because we just said it. תומת בגדים is not written there. How do we know there is תומת בגדים? חטאת חטאת. ומדבויד חטאת חטאת, אתיה. Like that she just thought us, כדי פרישית. Very good. Now, next, look at the next Rashi. מחוץ למחנה בדשן, בהוצאת דשן המזבח. Right? When you're taking out the ashes of the מזבח, והוציא את הדשן אל מחוץ למחנה. Oh, so it says clearly, you'll take the דשן out of the מחנה. שאין תמוד לומר, אין הוא מלמד כלום. You don't have to tell me, I don't learn anything about this. דענה ידע על הדל מוץ למחנה מוצאין אותו. You know how I know that? דכתיב בפרים הנשרפים, because by the other פרים it says, אל שפך הדשן. דכתיב בו מחוץ למחנה, in the place where you put the ashes, but never know it's מחוץ למחנה. So what's the מחוץ למחנה by? שפך הדשן, אלא must be telling me another מחנה. So therefore that's how I know three מחנות. Good? So that's the source. Comes the Gemara and says, V'Rabbi Shimon, which means the Bishimon in our Mishnah, the Bishimon is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines from the bottom. The Bishimon, what did the Bishimon say in our Mishnah? It says, no, the Tum'at Begadim doesn't kick in. For sure, you brought it out to be Mahanot already. You have to burn it. Once the majority of the Korban, we'll call it, is burned, then Tum'at Begadim sits in. Hold it. So now, we have to ask according to him, how does he learn the pasuk ve'otzi oto mechutz l'machane? The rabbis learned it that that's a hidush in tumat begadim. But Rabbi Shimon, you don't hold tumat begadim is after one machane. So what's your derash on that pasuk? Rabbi Shimon, hay mechutz l'machane may avid le. What does he do with the mechutz l'machane? Right? No, he uses it, but for what it's taught in the following Braita. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ne'emar Kan Mi'utz L'machaneh. That's Kan is referring to Kippur. Ne'emar Lehalan Mi'utz L'machaneh. That's by Para Aduma. Para Aduma also, it was done, the procedure of it was done, Mi'utz L'machaneh. Rashi, ne'emar kan bepar yom kippurim ve'ne'emar lehalan bepara aduma ve'hotzi ota el mechutz l'machane. So the Gemara says, ma kan chutz l'shalosh machanot, just like by parim and israfim. We just learned it's three machanot, right? From the three times that it says el mechutz l'machane, that all derash af lehalan chutz l'gimel machanot. So to my Para Aduma, it's done outside Yerushalayim. It's done outside the three Machanot. Uma le'alan b'mizracha shel Yerushalayim, and just like by Para Aduma, it's done on the eastern side of Yerushalayim. Why? How do we know it's done on the eastern side? Because if you remember, we learned they had to sprinkle it towards the Hechal. Now the Elnochach Pene Abayit. Now the Hechal is to the west, so that means they have to be standing in an area to the east in order they can see the Hechal. Very good. Afka b'mizracha shel Yerushalayim. So to here, it's also by the part of the same when they burn it outside of three machanot. Which side of Yerushalayim did they burn it? Afkan in the mizrach of Yerushalayim. Look at Rashi. Ma lehalan. בפרה אדומה במזרחת ירושלים דכתיב באל נוכח פני אוהל מועד ואז קרא בי אג'ייסנט אוהל מועד על מה עומד במזרח ופניו למערב כנגד פתחו של היכל שהוא בכותל מערבי ופתוח למזרח אף כאן so to here when you burn it also it is going to be in the east. According to the Bishimon, he learns from the אל מחוץ למחנה by פריו מכיפורים to link it to Para Aduma, and once I learned from Para Aduma, I learned the place. That what? It's just like Para Aduma is in the east. So to the burning of the Parim of Kippur and the Sa'ir, etc., is done in the east. Chazal Gemara says, "Verabbanan." According to the rabbis, Echa Sarif Lihu. By the rabbis, they already learned from the Mechutz LaMachaneh. They learned that's a din in Tumat Begadim. They don't make that link to Parah Aduma. So according to them, where do they burn it? So the Gemara says, Kedetanya Echa Nisrafin. Where is it burnt? Lisfona Shel Yerushalayim Vechut Lishalosh Machanot. Which means they do it on the north. The north. Now where they get the north from? So that she says, Shekol Ma'aseh Hatat Pesafon. We know even in the Beit HaMikdash, the rings where the Shekhitah were to the north of Mizbeach Haitzon. One of the reasons we said why the Dafka put the rings to the north, because there's a law that Korban Chatat must be slaughtered in the north. And therefore, once already we have a precedent that we know that the Chatat is in the north, even the burning of it outside Yerushalayim, Achamim will say, why change? Keep it also in the north. Now, we go to another Shita, Rabbi Yose Omer, Abet Hadeshin Nisrafin. Now, in the place where you're burning these chataot, it's got to be in a place where there's ashes there already. Rashi, top line, Abet Hadeshin, Sarik Shiyagdim Nesham Deshin HaMizbayach, Shiyehen Nikra Kodem Lachen Makom Shefech Hadeshin. So the pasuk says, where do you burn these chataot and nisrafim? El Mekom Shefech Hadeshin. So it literally means in the place where the ashes, because the ashes are also, right, we said the extra ashes, you also take them outside Yerushalayim, but the burning has to be in Mekom Shefech Hadeshin. The Vilna says, first you have to put ashes there. Meaning the new item. It's almost as if that it's Me'akevet like. You have to have ashes on the spot first, and then once there's ashes on the spot, then you could burn it over there. Mashma, the Tanakh Kama doesn't hold like that. Because Rabbi Yosef is the first one that's introducing this. So the Rashi says, Mechlal de Tanakh Kama lo tzarich. Third line. Right? Mechlal de Tanakh Kama does not need this. So Gemara says, Amar Rava, Man Tana de Palik al Yad Rabbi Yosef. Who's the one that argues on Rabbi Yosef? Rabbi Eliyaz bin Yaakov. De Tanya, El Shefe Chadeshen Yisaref Shiyehe Leshem Deshen. Yo Lesham Shiyeh Lesham Deshin. She's the first opinion over here saying what? That there has to be ashes over there. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Shiyeh Mekomo Meshupach. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, when it says El Shefech Deshin means it has to be a sloped area. That what? That if you would put ashes there, what would happen to the ashes? El Shefech Deshin. The Deshin would sort of slide off. So it's not teaching you that there has to be dish in there. It's teaching you on the incline of the spot where you burn it. So it comes out you have a machloket over here seemingly. Do you need dish in or not? Abaye says, no, you have no proof that there's a machloket in this braita. V'dilma bimkomo mishupachu depelige. Which is maybe everybody holds you need dish in. Maybe the only machloket in this braita is you need it to be sloped or not. Because you can't prove from this braita that the machloket is in deshin or not. Maybe everybody knows you need deshin. No machloket is. Could it be a straight spot or has to be a slow spot? You have no proof. Tanu Rabbanan. Right, we have a braita. Vesoref metame begadim. The pasuk says that the soref, the one that burns these hataot, he's the one that has to yechabez begadav. So the Gemara learns, v'as soref yechabez begadav, only the one that's involved in the burning, he has a tumat begadim. Ve'lo hametzit et ha'ur, not the guy that literally lights the fire. Lighting the fire, well, let's say throwing a a log in or whatever like that, that's not considered burning. Ve'lo ha-misadir et ha-ma'aracha, nor the guy that sets up the fire. Ve'ezehu ha-soref, so what's considered the soref? Ze ha-misayeya b'sh'at serefa, that's the one that's actually helping at the time that the animal is burning. Look at Rashi. What is that?
Stoking.
Stoking it, etc. Look at Rashi. Has soref. המתעסק בסורכי שריפתן בגופן. You actually much involved in the burning of the actual animal itself. דכתיב אותם. והשורף אותם. The actual parts, right? כגון המסייע בשעת שריפה. Yeah, the guy helping around the time שריפה. והייתן היתנו כרבי שמעון דהם מתמים בגדים עד שיוצית בהם האור. This Tana has to hold like Rabbi Shimon, that she says. Because according to the Tana Kama, the Mishnah, the Tumat Begadim took place already right when he left Azara. We're discussing over here, Vasoref, Yitameh, Yichabez Begadav. What do you mean? He's Betameh Begadav already. No, according to Rabbi Shimon, it doesn't happen until you actually burn the majority of the meat. So therefore we're discussing, what's considered the burning? So the one that's actually involved in it. Okay, good. Yachol, Apishin, Asu, Efer, Metameh, In Begadim. Now let's say it turned into ashes already. Is it also Metameh Begadim? What does that mean? Meaning now already you burnt it. Now another guy comes in and he stokes it and he starts doing something. Tamud lomar otam. Otam means the parts, the animal parts. Otam mitameim begadim, velo mishinahasu efer mitameim begadim. The actual pieces itself, but once they become ashes, it's over. Rabbi Yehuda Rishimon omer, hapar mitameh, the part itself is mitameh. Nitach habasar. But once the basar literally melts from the fire, eno metameh begadim. Now the question is, what's the difference? The Chaura, the Tanakamas also say that it's parts. Once they're not parts anymore, it's not metameh. So the Bishwan comes along and says, or the Bishwan comes along and says, that only the part is metameh, not after it melts. My benayu, so I'll tell you the difference between the two opinions. Ika benayu, deshavya harucha. That she says the shaviyah harucha, dehaveni tacha basar, the efer miu lo have. It's in between. The basar is burnt, but it didn't turn into ashes yet. So according to Tanakama, this braita, as long as it's not ashes, or it gets burnt, somebody gets involved in burning it more. Betame begadim. According to the Bezer Rishimon, no. Once already, it's not basar anymore. Even though it's not ashes, there's no more tumat begadim. Let's read that in Nashi. The shabi harucha, the havi nitach basar ve'efer miu lo havi ve'efer miu lo havi. Kama the tana kama mitamein ad shiasu efer. According to tana kama, it's tamein until it becomes ashes. The otam karinan be. You still call it otam, the parts. Let it be El Azab Rishon Shavya Harucha. Once it becomes Harucha, burnt, Lo Mitameh De Lo Par Mikri. It's not called anymore a par. So that's the machloket between Tanakama and Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon of this braita. Okay, now we go to the next Mishnah. Amru Lo Le Kohen Gadol. Now, the Kohen Gadol cannot start the next service till he knows that the Sa'ir was, we'll call it, sent out. Okay, we'll see how much he has to know. So how does the Kohen Gadol, how do they communicate with him? We learned yesterday, there was, according to one opinion, 12 mil away from the Beit HaMikdash. Mm-hmm. So how do they signal to the Kohen Gadol back at Yerushalayim that already he can continue his service? So Amru lo le Kohen Gadol, they would tell the Kohen Gadol, Higia Sa'ir Lamidbar. According to this Tana, all he has to know is that the Sa'ir got to the Midbar. Once it gets to the Midbar, he's able to continue his. So you don't got to know that it fell off the mountain and all that stuff. Uminayin hayu yodayin shegiya sa'ir lamidbar. How do you know? Dirkaot hayu osin. Rashi says dirkaot. Look at Rashi. Bene adam omdim mirushalayim latzuk. You had
watchmen.
Okay, we'll call them. Or lookers. That would stand from Yerushalayim
fires.
All the way to the, no fires on Kippur, yeah. But they would stand from the cliff all the way to Yerushalayim. Bechdesh shir ezeh simano shel zeh. Uminifin otan asimuchim lemidbar besuddarim. They would have like handkerchiefs and they would wave. Vezeh somek l'ro'eh umaniv gam hu v'ro'eh haveroh asimuch l'Yerushalayim dirkaot. Okay, so they would have signals that they would get all the way back to Yerushalayim. Uminifin besuddarim. No, they would wave with the sundarim, with the handkerchiefs or the cloths. The yodain shigiyah sa'id la midbar. All you had to know is that the sa'id got to the midbar. Amar biyuda, v'halo siman gadol haya lahem mirushala, v'halo siman gadol haya lahem. So he came along and said, what are you talking about? You had a big siman. Remember we learned yesterday that you had a string, which means you had the string in the Hechal. Once the Kohen sees that the string turns white, so then already you know that it was done already. So that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Now obviously, we have to say that this is based on the Mahloka we learned yesterday, where the red string was. Rabbi Yehuda's holding that what, the string was always in Yerushalayim. But we learned yesterday an opinion that said no, that there was a point where they took it outside Yerushalayim and they put it on the rock. So they've according to Tanna Kamma, the Kohen Gadol does not have any way of knowing that the Sa'i got to the Midbar. Because the string was on the rock. It's according to the Yehuda, no, he didn't know it was on the rock. He has to say it was on the wall. So according to the Yehuda, you didn't need any waving in any system. Now it continues. Mirushalayim ba'ad bet hiduro, from Yerushalayim until a place called Bet Hiduro, that's a place, Shilosha Milin, is 3 mil. Now the Gemara is going to tell us this place, Bet Hiduro, is the beginning of the Midbar. That's the beginning of the, we'll call it the desert, okay? Now, Holchin Mil, V'chozrin Mil, V'shohin Kede Mil, V'yudrin Shegi Yaseh Midbar. So Tanna Kamma says, we'll give you the system how you could know without having waving flags and all that. We'll give you a system. You got to know that the Sa'id got to the Midbar. The Midbar is 3 mil away. Remember we learned there was escorts? So the escorts go from Yerushalayim. They escort him a mil, because that's as far as they can go, because 2,000 amma. So let them walk 2,000. Now they walk back 2,000, that's 2 mil. Let them wait the amount of time that it takes to walk 1 mil. Bingo, that's 3 mil. So once that time lapses, you know for sure the guy got to the Midbar. Once he gets to the Midbar, already the Kohen Gadol can start his service again. Now, comes the Mishnah Ketiyah, Bishmael Omer, V'halo siman acher haya lahem, Lashon shel zehorit haya kashur. So I go back. That's Ishmael's opinion. We have to read the Mishnah like this. When we read the Bi-Yehuda, go back to the Bi-Yehuda. Amar Bi-Yehuda, V'halo siman gadol haya lahem. What was the siman gadol according to the Bi-Yehuda? Mirushalayim v'chad bet chadoro, shosha minin olchin mil v'chozin mil v'shrin kadem mil v'yodin shegi asir l'midbar. That was the siman gadol for the Bi-Yehuda. Now, Rabbi Ishmael Omer, V'halo siman acher haya lahem. Rabbi Ishmael said, no, there was another siman. What was that? What we said. Lashon, shizorit haya kashur petro shel echal, u'kshegi asir l'midbar haya lashon, malbin shneimar, u'abdachem kasharim, kasheleg yalbinu. So it comes out, there's three different systems, how the Kohen Gadol would know. The first opinion is the dirkaot. Now, I want to explain the word dirkaot. According to the Pirush Mishnah Rambam, was big matzevot, platforms that the watchman would stand on. So that's what they call them dirkaot, because that's the platform. Or some want to say it's the stick that they would put the flag on. In any event, the first opinion says that they had the flag system. The second opinion, the Yehuda, says no. It was very simple to figure it out. You have to wait 3 mil. They walk a meal, they come back a meal, they wait a meal, finish, you know already it's done. The Mishmael says, you don't need any of this. You have the red string and the Hechal. Once it turns white, the Kohen Gadol knows that at least he gets to the Midbar. Which is according to the Mishmael, it's not going to turn white before he gets to the Midbar. Because once he gets to the Midbar already, the process of the Seder Mishtaleya is beginning. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Abaye, Shmachmina Bet Hduro B'Midbar Kaima. Okay, first of all, you see, according to the Yehuda, you have to see this place called Bet Hiduro was in the Midbar. Because he's trying to wait until he gets to 3 mil away. And you learn according to the Yehuda, the main mitzvah of the Seder Mishtaleya is not necessarily to throw off the mountain. Once it gets to the Midbar, the mitzvah is done. That's why you have to figure out that point. And the Kohen Gadol can continue his avodah. Look at Rashi. Now the Kohen can start the next service, which is reading the parasha of Yom Kippur, which we're going to begin now to learn in the next parak. Now we begin the seven. Now the seder avodah. So now where we're holding. They just brought the Sa'ir HaMishtaleach, they got it to the Midbar, the Kohen got his signals, and now we begin the seventh Perek, which continues the Avodah. Ba'lo Kohen Gadol Likrot. Now the Kohen Gadol comes to read the Parasha. If you remember earlier in this Masechet, we learned that just like during the Minu'im, during the 7 days that they were preparing for the opening of the Mishkan, they also had to read the Parashat Miluim. So we learn over here also by the Seder Avodah of Kippur, you also have to do the reading, and we also learn that the reading is Me'akev. So now the Gemara says, Im ratza liklot bebigdei butz kore. He's wearing his white begadim, the Kohen still. If he wants to remain wearing his white begadim, keep him on, he can read it. V'im lav, he wants to take them off, kore be'itztalit lavan mishelo. He could wear his own garments. The Kohen has his own garments also. They happen to be white. Which means that Gemara Mishnah is trying to tell us that the reading is not necessarily an avodah that necessitates begadim. He wants to wear his white begadim that he's wearing already. He doesn't have to take them off. But if he wants to change and put on regular clothes for the reading, that's okay as well. Hazan HaKeneset. The Hazan at Knesset, as she says, is the Shamash, or the Shamosh, as we would call him. The reason why they call him the Hazan, Hazan literally means Lahazot, is to look. He's the one that's the watch. He's all, you know, overlooking the synagogue. So they call him the Hazan. Hazan at Knesset, Notel Sefer Torah. He takes the Sefer Torah, and some say this was actually the Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. This was a special sefer they would read specifically on Kippur. V'notno le'rosh ha'keneset. Now, the Rosh HaKeneset is like the Misader, we would call him. He's the one that decides who gets the Aliyot, etc. And who becomes the Shaliach Sibur. The Rosh HaKeneset notno le'segan. Then the Rosh HaKeneset gives it to the second Kohen, right, the alternate. V'segan notno le'kohen gadol. And then the Segan gives the Sefer to the Kohen Gadol. The Gemara is going to explain this was all done for Kavod purposes, for the Kohen Gadol, that the Sefer is passed through a certain night procession. The Kohen Gadol Omed Omekaber. Until that point, the Kohen Gadol was sitting. Once the Sefer Torah comes to him, he stands up, obviously, for Kavod Sefer Torah, and he receives it. The Kore, and now he reads. What does he read? Okay, so the Bach adds the Kohen Gadol Omed Umekabel the Kore, and he reads. Look, we have that. Now he takes that Mekabel. Okay, Kohen Gadol Omed the Kore. Achare Mot. Okay, that's the Parasha of Kippur. Parashat Achare Mot. The Ach Be'asor. Okay, that she says she Parashat Emor. So obviously they have to turn it. Turn the Sefer until they get the Parashat Emor, which is also in Vayikra. Okay? V'golel Sefer Torah, then they roll it up, they finish, U'maniho b'heko. And he puts it in his hek, in his, well, he holds it in his hek, his pocket, let's say. What's the exact word of hek? Bosom. Okay, I mean, he holds it by his pocket, like we said. V'omer, Yoter mima shekarati lefnechem katuv kan. He tells the people, more than I'm reading for you is written here. Which means the next part he reads ba'al peh. But he doesn't want the people to think that the reason why he's reading it ba'al peh by heart is because the Sefer Torah is lacking it. So therefore he says, listen, more than I'm reading, I want you to know, which is the extra stuff that I'm reading, it's written here. But we'll see why he didn't read it from the Sefer Torah itself. Ube'asol shebe'chumash pekudim. He would read the Be'asol, which is the laws of Yom Kippur, which is written in Sefer Bamidbar. Sefer Bamidbar is called Sefer Chumash Pikudim, because the beginning of that Sefer talks about the census. Pikudim is the counting. So therefore, he would now start reading Parashat Akbe Asor by heart. So he didn't want them to think that it was missing, so he'd say, listen, the action that I'm reading, it's Katufkan. It's written here. Good. Kore alpe, good, he reads it by heart. Umibarech alea shemona berachot. After he finishes reading the Sefer, he makes 8 berachot. Ala Torah, that she says, that's berachat asher natana Torah, Torah temet, the regular berachah aharonah on the Torah. Ve'ala avodah, Rashi, first wide line, Retze ba'amecha Yisrael, v'tretze avoda v'bir betecha, she'otecha lebadecha, bir'ah na'avod. That's a special berakah regarding the service that it should be accepted. Ve'ala hoda'ah, that's a berakah of thanksgiving, Rashi, modim anachnu lach, ad atov lecha lehodot. Okay? Now Rashi says, ala avoda mevarech b'shvil avoda she'avad. The avodah beracha is what he just did. The hodaa simucha avodah. We give thanks close to the service. Why? Tichtiv zoveyach toda yechavedaneni. So the Gemara makes a derash. When she gives you the derash, zoveyach, you bring a korban. What's the next word? Toda. Give thanks. Achar avodah toda. The hodaa. The next one is va'al mechilat he'avon. Rashi, Mechol Avonotenu Beyom Kippurim Aze Ad Melech Mohel Vesolel Avonotenu. That's referring to the Berakah of Mechila. Ve'alam Mikdash, and some take out these words Bifnei Atzmo, but some have it. What is Mikdash? Rashi says, Mitpalel Ala Mikdash. He prays for the Beit HaMikdash. Ve'chotem Baruch Shebahad HaMikdash. You chose the Mikdash. Ve'al Yisrael, Bifnei Atzman, he makes a special berakah that God chose, right? Boher, Israel. Ve'al Yerushalayim b'fnei atzma. Makes a special berakah for Jerusalem. Ve'al HaKohanim b'fnei atzma. Rashi, ve'al HaKohanim. Mitpalel al HaKohanim. Ve'kotem Baruch Shebachar Bezaro Shel Aharon. Right? Blessed be the one that chose the Zer of Aharon Ve'ken HaYisrael. That's the one for Yisrael as well. Ve'al She'ar HaTefilah. Shara Tefillah is like Shomayah Tefillah. And in that one he would include all different things that Klai Yisrael would need. That Berakah would change from year to year its text based on what Klai Yisrael would need. But the Hatima was Shomayah Tefillah. Now of course, if you count it, there's going to be 9 Berakot here. And we said there's only 8. Mefar Shimdu answer this question that when they say the Berakah of Yisrael, that they say was not a separate berakah, but the berakah of Yisrael was included in the berakah of Sha'ar HaTefillah. So that gets you back to 8 berakot. Comes the Mishnah and concludes, Haro'eh Kohen Gadol Kishu Koreh, the Jews that witnessed and heard the Kohen Gadol when he read the Sefer Torah, En Ro'eh Par V'Sair Neslafim. Well, obviously they can't be in two places at the same time. They weren't able to be outside Yerushalayim and see the par and the sa'ir being burnt. And those people that were there watching the par and the sa'ir being burnt, not because they're not allowed to see both services, since they were done simultaneously, they were burning and reading, so therefore it was impossible to see them and be there at the same time. Comes the Gemara and says, "Mediketani betzela laban mishelo." For the fact that it says that when the Kohen is reading the Sefer Torah, he's able to wear his own clothes. Michlal de kiriya lav avodai. Must be that kiriya is like considered an avodah. Uktani imratzal lekrod bebigdei boots kore. But we did say that if he wants to wear the bigdei laban, he can. So you know what we can learn from here? Shema mina bigdei keuna nitnu lehanot bahem. That you're allowed to have personal hana'a from the bigdei keuna, because the bigdei keuna are only for service. And the fact that we're letting him wear them, even when there's no avodah, so that shows that there's no isur hana'a personal to the Kohen Gadol. Otherwise we would tell, listen, you're reading the Sefer Torah now, it's not avodah, take the bigdei levan off. Ela, he's allowed to have hana'a. So click at Rashi, nitnu lihanot natan, or nitan reshut lihanot ben, belo shahat avoda. So comes the Gemara and says, no, Shani kiriyah, the tzorich avodai.
No, I could argue like that. Listen, maybe the kiriyah is not avodah itself, but it's considered tzorich avodah, that it's connected to the avodah. It's not like we're letting him eat or do something else that's totally non-avodah related. So the Gemara says, the ibayalan, because actually we have a question.
But
it was actually a question that was asked. Can you benefit from the Bigdei Kehuna or not? Tashema, lo ayu yeshenim bebigdei Kodesh. We have a statement. They did not sleep in the Bigdei Kodesh. So the Gemara makes a diyuk.
Shina hu delo.
Sleeping, no.
Hamechal achle.
But eating, yes. Which is why don't you tell me sleeping? Because sleeping is different. Sleeping, we're worried that Shema yafiyah bahim. He might pass gas during the sleeping. It's like kavod for the Bigdei Kehuna. Mashma, that any other personal item, for example, like eating, but the Kohen eats, he can wear the Bigdei Lavan. So what do you see over here? Bigdei Kehuna. So what do you see over here? There's no problem of Isud Hana'ah. Gemara says, no. Dilma Shani Achila De Tzorech Avodahi. Maybe when the implication to eat, maybe it's eating that's considered Tzorech Avodah. Kedetanya Ve'achilu Otam Asher Kupar Bahem. When the Kohanim eat, Kapara is accomplished. Melamed Shakohanim Ochlim Ube'alim Mitkaprim. So you see over here what? And at the time the Kohanim eat from the Korban, the owners receive kapara. So the Vista have no proof again. Which means I could come and tell you that when it says sleeping, it picks sleeping because sleeping is inyan of, let's say, isur of hafaha, etc. But don't make a diuk over, sleeping is asur, akhila is mutar. Because I can tell you, maybe akhila is mutar. Because akhila is considered tzorech avodah. Akhila is considered the service. So you have no proof that he cannot serve. So Kavzi Gebaran says, one more point. Shina hu delo. Okay, so learn it like this. Sleeping, you can't. Ha hiluche mehalche. Implying that he can walk with them. Which means even if he's finished, he's not doing avodah now. Mm-hmm. Stam, the queen wants to walk. It's mashma that what? He's allowed to take a stam walk with them. So the Gemara says, bedinu deluche namelo. I can tell you what, really, sleeping or walking also is going to be asur. Ve'sefa istarich ale poshtin u'mekapelim u'mani'im ta'at la'shehen. Which means at the end of that statement, in that writer that we quoted, it says, poshtin, they take off the bigdei lavan, u'mekapelim, and they fold them, ومنيعين تاقات لشهن, and they place them under their heads. So what does that mean? Because it says that they would use it like, let's say, a pillow. So it's asur to wear bigdei kehuna outside of the service for anything. That would have used sleeping as an example is coming to tell you that besides the isur of Shema Yafiyach Bahem, it's coming to tell you also, because what? That it's mutar for the Kohen to take off his clothes when he's sleeping and make them into a bundle and put them under his head and sleep them, which means that's considered okay. Baruch Adonai Le'olam, Amen, Ve'amen.